Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is...
Welcome back. Having a whole different conversation here with my colleagues. Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday home run. The time is 25 minutes. Yeah, 25 minutes left to the hour two. As long as it's past the 30 minutes, then it's two and all that crap. 25 minutes left to the hour of five. So from now, obviously, 4:30 to 6, that's a home run slot. And as usual here on Eagle FM, keeping a company is Helmut. Without Dwight, again, we'll tell you when he's back. And today's discussion is one interesting one that incorporates two of my favorite stories, one going on local and another going on in West Africa. And that's one that has to do with leadership, basically, in public office. And one thing I've come to learn is that, the more I sit in this chair and talk about these things, the more I realize I really don't want to be in public office, because there's a lot of headaches that comes with being in public office, especially with as it relates to elections, which is what we're going to talk about today, not in respect to the ongoing regional councils and local authority elections here in Namibia, but just the elections in general. And we are going to have that more in a reference to the electoral integrity discussion that took place earlier this month in Zambia, held by the World Foundation for Democracy, Westminster, not World. Jeez, Westminster, that's how you know it's from Europe, and Afrobarometer. So they met in Zambia, in Lusaka, Zambia, earlier this month, where they looked at it was really global, but they just focused more on Africa, because that was just on elections. But I have to breathe from time to time. I have to be reminded to breathe, like literally, because that's how much I get excited every time that I talk about this. It's a passion. It's awesome passion. A little toxic, because it literally takes my breath away sometimes. At this point, I brought this up because of two main reasons. One, because of our ongoing elections here at home, regional and local authority. And then what, interesting enough, took place in Guinea-Bissau. Now, we have to understand, the people of Guinea-Bissau went to the polls and they voted. And when they were waiting for the elections, the next thing you know, the army guys come in, and then boom, they take over. I mean, they get rid of the president, and then the army general is sworn in as they call them interim president, or newly, self-proclaimed or self-elected president. Now, my favorite part is when he was the media, basically the world wants to know, what made you do this, general? And believe it or not, his excuse was, we did this because we did this to call it, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you'll get the point. According to them, the reason why they did that was to basically counter the suspected election rigging that was going to basically take place. At this point, a lot of experts the world over now are now going Honorable General, unless you have proof of the possible election rigging, this story is really not going to fly. Now, bottom line is, the point that they're basically making is, I think there would have been a lot of evidence for you to present if there was an election result coming out. And then now, at this point, you have a lot of people around that have seen these results, and then they are now siding with you on that suspected rigging. But You didn't even give it time for the results to come out, and then you just decided to preempt the possible election rigging or the suspected election rigging. Now, we don't know where this story is going. We don't know how true the general's words are, seeing that he's already basically, you know, taken over office. Now, whether it's true or not, it's obviously, that's the question. I mean, that's the big question. How true, who is telling the truth here? Because, before the, you know, before even the elections could be announced, both the president at the time that was, both the president at the time, the one who was deposed, and his opposition were both claiming, that one was saying, I won, and this one was like, I won, and the general was like, okay, fine, I'll take it over from here. Now, it's things like that that basically, now it's interesting that the discussion on the integrity of elections on the African continent mostly, took place earlier this month, somewhere around the 12th in Lusaka, Zambia. And fast forward to Sunday, Sunday they were at the polls, Wednesday, somewhere this week, the elections the results were supposed to be announced. Except before the results were announced, the army takes over. Now, military takeover is actually not something that's new. This is something that's as old as time, and we witnessed this back in the, in the 2020, 2021 with Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and all those things. And then the recent one, especially when it comes to, to election controversy, we had our own here, albeit we solved it very diplomatically, and I'm so proud of us with the, with the set up legal systems we have in place. And of course, Mozambique had their own different way, and they solved it somewhat very differently. Now, when it comes to elections, elections is a method of choosing someone to public office. Think of it as in the form of a group. This is why I like to say that when you think about these things, stop thinking about it in diplomatic, verbosity way. Reduce it down to a very basic, bare-bone language that you can easily understand. If you and your homies are going out and going to eat out, or you and your, not girlfriend or wife, definitely, because the girlfriend and the wife are deciding that. If you and your homies are going to eat out and you can't decide which place to go and eat out at, so you can easily basically, put it to a vote, or you can go the traditional way of tossing a coin, heads or tail. Now, if you are talking about, a group, whether this is a group in a political sense or economic sense or religious setting or more just a social setting in terms of friends, it's important to basically factor in everyone's opinion, or more like everyone's point of view, or more like everyone's voice or vote. So if you are in a group of five friends and you don't know whether to get, to go to Yangtze, or you wanna go to, Madridas for steak. Actually, that's what I'll definitely vote for that one. But, the thing is, now you have to go decide between Yangtze and Madridas. Where are we going to eat? Are we gonna go for steak, or we're going Chinese when it comes to the dinner that we want to go and spoil ourselves? Now, if there are five of you, instead of just, if one of you just decides, you know what? I don't care what the four of you thinks, we're going to Madridas. Unless he's the one that's paying, it's really not going to be someone, maybe someone is likes Chinese food more than they do, more like they like steak. I don't know who that is, but let's assume there's someone out there. Bottom line is, my love for meat is overwhelming at this point. Very obvious. So, we involve elections to some degree on all levels. You find people choosing leaders, leaders in church. You don't just stand up and say, well, I spoke to the big guy upstairs and he told me that, unfortunately, I'm to remain in this position forever and ever and ever. And now you are going to remain a deacon, and you are going to remain an usher forever and ever and ever. You can preach or you can sing, but the big guy upstairs that I spoke to is telling me, you're just going to be at that door. Now you go to the game. So elections are involved in a lot of aspects of our lives. It's no surprising then that when you look at the method that is used at picking, more like choosing public office representatives to represent a large group of people, aka a country, then elections are the only way that we have, it's a dominating method of, of a public leader, representative type of choosing mechanism that we have. At some point, there was something known as dynasty or monarchy, where people, first of all, using, for the most part, in all across cultures, using some types of spiritual explanation over why it's only his family that should be running the country. They call themselves, we are a dynasty. We are a monarchy. We are chosen by God. And the rest of you, you can't vote for a leader. A leader must be born in the right family that was ordained by God. Back then, before democracy and elections, that's the case. Basically, across the planet, every culture had that whole type of choosing a king. And now, choosing a leader. But now, we have these things called elections. Democracy came along, and some people obviously started looking at the people that were supposedly chosen by God to run, to run the country. What they were doing was very contrary to what God says in his good book. Because, well, for one, he says, thou shalt not kill. And then when they looked around, they saw the people that, thou shalt not, the good book says, at least if you are a Christian, you know that the good book says, one of the commandments is, thou shalt not steal. And as you can imagine, the peasants were looking at the royal guys, and these guys were basically swindling the poor left, right, and center, and were like, were these guys really chosen by God? Or they're just using that as an excuse to cling on to power? Like forever and ever and ever. Well, it turns out it was the second reason. They were not chosen by God. They just chose themselves and then used God as an excuse so that power can only stay in their family. They pushed it a little further by marrying their close relatives so that power does not get out of the family cycle. That's how good they were at basically keeping. Now, when a poor person married someone they were related to, that was incest. But when it's someone that was actually from a royal family married someone they were close to, that was ordained by God. And also a bunch of religious guys that were friendly with the throne. You can actually understand why all poor people went like, God did not ordain these guys. Because first of all, God said, well, the good book says, do not steal. And these guys are stealing like crazy. We can all see that. And, the good book says, lay with someone you, related to by blood. Like the worst thing you can do. Even biology disagrees with you. But these guys are doing it. Like, what's going on here? And then the French were like, yeah, all right, we're not having this anymore. Decided to, democracy was born in Greece. The French were like, okay, well, you hand it over. You don't know how to spread it. Definitely. You definitely don't know how to spread it. Give it to us. And then they spread it. What's the past tense for spread? And then they spreaded it. Whatever. Spreaded. It's either that's the past tense of the word spread, or I just found a new English word. Now, moving on. So, elections is today's discussion. Not in respect to Namibia's ongoing elections, but just elections in general. According to Encyclopedia, Colonizer, my favorite encyclopedia, give me a break, guys. Elections is a formal process of selecting a person for public office. Now, keyword, public office. Public office, basically, that's, you are talking about for the benefits of everyone. Now, the reason why elections are very important is because whether you participate in them or not, the person that's going to find themselves in the office of authority are going to make decisions that are going to impact you, whether you like it or not. If you have never thought of the reason why you should participate in some, that's the reason why. Now, of course, we live in the world that has, you can do whatever you want as long as it's legal. Because you can do whatever you want does not mean you have to go there and rob the bank, because, or more like steal someone's stuff. Because, you can do, I heard this guy on Eagle FM who said, well, free will, go whatever you want. Go and take someone's TV. You're gonna get shot. Just walk carelessly and then slip on a banana peel and find yourself in someone's relationship. Again, you're gonna get shot. So, common sense must apply on, you can do whatever you want. Common sense must apply there. A lot of it. So, public office. Since not everyone can be a leader, imagine a country where everyone is the president. You're gonna end up with chaos. Like, you don't have to be a political expert to know that that's going to be chaotic. Or easy. Imagine a church where everyone is a pastor. Ouch. I can only imagine the type of prayer and sermons that's gonna go on in that church. That is going to be something else. So, since everyone cannot be a leader, at some point as a species, we had to figure out the best way to pick a leader amongst ourselves. Reminds me of George Carlin, who liked to say that he doesn't understand when people complain about about politicians being incompetent. Now, George Carlin's point of view was that whenever we look around, if we see a bunch of people in public office that are incompetent, we have to understand that, yes, they are incompetent. We can blame those that are incompetent for that. But let's also understand one thing. This, as a society, is the best we can do when it comes to producing human beings. That's the best we can do. Have you looked at an idiot and went like, can you imagine someone wasted baby milk formula on that? Those are some of my darkest jokes. I don't like sharing them. And now you can actually understand why. It's not rocket science. According to George Carlin, every time that you see someone who is incompetent in public office, you have to understand that as a society, when it comes to producing leaders, that's the best we can do. Take someone who is being an activist and then put them in public office, and more often in about less than a month, they are going to become similar, if not worse, than the person they replaced. Like, at this point, we need prayers from the highest authority of divine sphere. So, election is a formal process of selecting a person for public office. That's where we are looking at it from. Or accepting or rejecting a political proposition by voting. When someone proposes something, what do we do? How many say yeah, and then you vote? How many say nay, and then you vote? Now, the majority that says yes, then you can go with that. Now, of course, this system now has its own pros and cons. The pro is that, if the majority are wrong, then you have to go with a wrong decision. That's where it becomes very painful. Let's just take a little bit of a detour. Somewhere around July this year, the International Court of Justice made a ruling on a case against Sudan and the UAE. And in my opinion, this is just my point of view, that's when international law failed Sudan. Because this is the highest court of the United Nations. And they voted. This is a panel of judges. I think they're over 10 judges that they're looking at. These guys voted overwhelmingly. The majority of the judges voted against throwing out the Sudan versus, the Sudan versus UAE case. not because Sudan did not have evidence against the UAE in the case. It's because the case, it's because the court did not have jurisdiction to preside over the case. That's because when the UAE signed the Geneva Convention, they decided to throw in a clause in there that, I know that this whole convention is about, no country can commit a genocide, and if they carry out one, then this court can then prosecute you. But if what we are going to be signing to be a member of this agreement, but in the event that we find ourselves in this situation where the court this court can prosecute us on this specific crime, aka genocide, then this court then will have to admit that they don't have jurisdiction. If you have your mouth wide open in awe, yeah, that was me when I was going through this crap. Now, picture this. It's illegal to steal in Namibia, as long as you are a Namibian citizen. Basically, even if you are not a Namibian citizen, it's illegal for you to steal. Now, imagine if I reached an agreement with the Ministry of Justice and all the courts in Namibia that, I know I'm a Namibian, I'm a citizen of this country. Now, if I find and I know that I'm not allowed to steal as per the Namibian constitution. Now, let's put the good book aside on this one. Because I have a lot of money, and then I reach an agreement with the Ministry of Justice and the judiciary and whose role is to basically uphold the Constitution of Namibia, I sit with them and then tell them that, okay, you know what, I'm signing to no stealing in Namibia, but I'm also throwing in an agreement that says that if in the event that I steal, there is not a single court that can prosecute me in this country. Why does that sound familiar? If you ask me, that's exactly what immunity is about. This whole parliamentary immunity thing. I have diplomatic immunity. You have diplomatic immunity, presidential immunity, parliamentary immunity. That's a get out of jail free card. And a lot of people in high offices have used a lot of their immunity privileges to get away what you and I cannot get away with. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. But in the ICJ case of Sudan and UAE, that's basically what happened in a nutshell. It wasn't due to lack of evidence, unfortunately. Actually, about 7 judges on that panel said, we should hear this case. But the majority of the judges were basically, the majority of the judges on the panel said, no, we can't hear this case because we don't have jurisdiction. But on the same panel, about 6 or 7 judges, I don't remember that one properly, actually said, yes, this is a humanitarian crisis. We should hear this case. But the majority said no. So the case was thrown out. And that was somewhere around July this year. You want to know what happened to Sudan and what continues to happen in Sudan? That idiot who was basically creating content for mostly TikTok and basically a bunch of social media platforms, of him doing the worst of the worst to mostly women. That was earlier this month. The highest UN court dismissed a case that should have prevented that in July. Welcome to the world we live in. But those are some of the pros and cons of this whole thing of let's vote on everything. But I'm not here to poop on an election party. Just here to talk about it. Commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindhuk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, They aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And welcome back. We continue. So, wasn't July when the case was dismissed? Somewhere in May. Yeah. That was actually one of the most painful cases I ever had to go through because of, if you have power, if you have money, you have no idea how many things you can get away with. But not here to provide the geopolitical analysis, just here to talk about elections and what was discussed in the what was discussed in that summit that took place in Zambia earlier this month. Now, the point of elections is a very simple one. It's to make sure that everyone's decision, everyone that's willing to participate, everyone's decision is considered in the electing, or more like in the choosing of a leader that's going to make decisions that will impact everyone. So just understand that you have a choice on whether or not to participate in an election. But you don't have a choice on whether or not on how you are going to be impacted by the decision that's going to be made, decision or decisions that are going to be made by the person that ends up in that office. Man, it's painful to be broke. It's painful to be poor. It's painful not to be in public office because, well, whether I like it or not, the impact of an election are coming your way. So, the Electoral Integrity in Africa Summit 2025 was co-hosted by Afrobarometer and the Westminster Foundation for Democracy. And it was held in Lusaka, Zambia this month. Now, before I continue on this, I would like to cross over to that discussion, not actually cross over because it took place earlier this month. I just cut a snippet of the audio of what I found interesting pertaining to this discussion, to the discussion of election. A lady by the name of Tanya Holstein, who is the head of practice with the Westminster Foundation or WFD, Westminster Foundation for Democracy, WFD, shared some interesting information on how, on how they gathered a lot of information about the electoral reforms. Because, look, like every institution, it requires constant update. I mean, family, for example, it starts with you being single and then you meet the love of your life. Then the next thing you know, you have a kid or two, and maybe you have to adopt one. Maybe relatives are going to come. Well, change is constantly taking place in every organization of people. So wherever you have elections, electoral reforms are more often called for. Now, Tanya Holstein here, but sort of like makes some points that you're going to find very interesting about a lot of things that they found after working with about 60 countries across the globe about these 60 countries, they were working with them about they're working with electoral representatives from different countries. Over 60 of them. They worked with them to try and find out what is it about electoral reforms that needs to be shared on a global scale so that things can be considered. And the surprise, no surprising, one thing that was found out was that, don't be fooled, elections are more political than they are technical. They have a technical aspect, but it's mostly political. That's why every time you hear some, that's why it doesn't matter who you are going to, okay, how do I put this? It doesn't matter where an election is taking place. Someone is almost always crying foul. Sometimes the fouls are true. Sometimes the fouls are just being cried by the person that did not win. And we see this, and that's not, that doesn't just take place in politics. That takes place in every aspect of our lives where you find competition. Take sports, for example. Every time your favorite team loses, you try to find someone to blame. Every time that you try to do something in life and you fail, go for a job interview and you don't get it, why did you fail? I mean, those people just hate me. And you start seeing this, manifesting earlier on in humans. For those kids that got their results, those of you that are waiting for next year, just wait. For those kids that got their results, ask those that failed, just gather about 10 of them, ask them one by one why they failed. One of them is going to blame the teachers. One of them is going to blame others. What, you are really going to run into one that will say, well, I think I just failed because I didn't study. I know that. I'm not going to blame anyone on this one. This one is on me. You will run into those, but they are very few. By far, the majority are either that teacher doesn't like me, my parents are this, oh my God, it was always the hostel father, it was always the hostel mother, it was always, my classmates are noisemakers, I would have passed. So, taking responsibility is not our strong suit. So, we're going to take a short break while I bring you that audio, and then we can cross over to it. On the other side, we will continue with this discussion over electoral integrity in Africa Summit 2025. And the best place to have this discussion is in Africa. Why? Because I'm African. Does that mean that only African countries need? Does that mean that only African electoral bodies need electoral integrity type of discussions? Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Wherever elections are being held, there are questions being asked by the opposition parties. Mostly the opposition parties and the people. It's the whole world. Now, I like to point that out because, one, it's true, and a lot of people don't know how true that is, so they like to say things like, you know what, the thing is, if it was in Europe, things would be different. Elections are rigged everywhere. Election results are questioned everywhere. January 6th, was that 2020, what was that? When Trump supporters stormed the White House, that was in opposition, in contest of election results. That was in the U.S. So, last time I checked, that's not Africa. So, elections are very controversial because they are predominantly politics. A lot of people that actually oppose are not making the opposition base. There are a lot of people that oppose results because, well, it wasn't me who won. And if you think this only takes place in governance type of settings, then let me remind you. Actually, this is an excellent example. I almost forgot. We are talking about amending our Procurement Act because adults just can't stop being petty. We have to amend the Procurement Act because every time that a tender is awarded, because contestants of a tender are allowed to contest, or more like participants, contestants basically. Contestants of a tender that is awarded are allowed to contest the results of that tender. Take if Helmut, Mandume, and Bwana, they all have different companies, and they apply for a construction tender to build a bridge. And Mandume gets the tender, Bwana and Helmut loses in that contest. Helmut and Bwana are allowed by law to contest that award. And that award, now we are going to end up in court fighting it out legally. And when a tender is awarded, and then that award is contested, that tender is going to be put on hold until that dispute is resolved. Well, guess what? Every time that tender is on hold, there is a patient somewhere that needs medication that tender would have supplied. They is somewhere being chased around by a crocodile because they used a canoe to cross the river instead of them using a bridge, because the person that was supposed to build a bridge is now in court trying to fight for that tender. A bunch of fully grown men are in court, and women are trying to fight for the tender. This one is saying, oh no, I should have gotten it. That one is saying, no, I should have gotten it because of this and this and this. I should have gotten it because of this and this and this. So, in the very same, now it's actually very interesting that the very same thing that we complain about in politics, especially when it comes to elections. You know, politicians, like every election cycle, politicians like to, like to fight over who should have won. And I mean, we know that about politicians, and we like to actually point out that that's only because politicians are this and that, and we give them all kinds of colorful names. If that was only true in politics, we wouldn't be talking about amending our Procurement Act now. It turns out wherever you find a group of people that are competing for something, there is always going to be a dispute over who should have gotten what. Take next year, for example, when the schools reopen and the Ministry of Education needs someone to supply hostels with food, a tender must be put out. I bet you, $5. You are going to read an article of someone who is, you are going to read an article of, an article or two of a bunch of adults that are battling it out in court over who should have gotten the tender to supply food to hostels, when kids in school, the school have reopened, they are in the hostel, now there's, schools are scrambling to try and find food to feed these kids. The Ministry of Finance have made the money available, the Ministry of Education have made the money available, it's just that there are now companies that are saying, no, I should have gotten the tender, and another one that side is saying, no, it should have been me. That one is saying it's like a bunch of kids fighting over who should have gotten the big part of the cake. That is how petty adults can be. So now we can see why we need elections. And now we can see why election results are just controversial by nature. You can't have a squeaky clean one where all the political party agrees with, you know what? Actually, I lost in that election. No, no. Just be as petty as you can. Isn't that just painful? So, a quick break, and then we take an audio, and then we'll continue on the other side.
Goeie nuus, Inbird nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Inbird te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa nune uto otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi tayo loka okone ushenjife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa inge pata fano na monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back from that extended commercial break. If you just tuned in, this is Homran with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today's discussion is elections. Now, this is based on the Electoral Integrity in Africa Summit that took place earlier this month in Zambia, Lusaka. So I've managed to get one snippet of of an audio that that you are going to be listening to. The voice you're about to hear is one of Tanya Holstein, who also spoke at the event, who came from an organization known as the Westminster Foundation for Democracy, because that discussion, more like the summit, was co-hosted by WFD, Westminster Foundation for Democracy, and Afrobarometer. Now, if you don't know who Afrobarometers are, keep listening. Please, keep listening. I'm going to help you. Don't worry. It's just a matter of reading and listening to Homran a lot. You're welcome. Let's take a listen and we'll continue on the other side. Homran with Helmut and Dwight absent. Stay tuned.
And in during 24, the Global Working Group set out to develop a document that focuses on the process, not the content of the reform, a document that is based on a consensus among a wide range of stakeholders on a global level, and that provides a set of principles and approaches for the electoral reform process that helps to improve the integrity. As we heard before, reform is not always positive. It does not always improve the integrity. So, to base the document on a broad understanding of the issues, the members of the working group globally contacted all their counterparts through surveys, interviews, focus groups. So within a period of 6 months, we got 60 responses from election management bodies, political parties, civil society, parliaments, and NGOs all over the globe. So we can say this document I will shortly present to you is based on global input. It is a document everybody looked at, everybody looked into it and gave their input. These principles are meant to be applied, these six principles we developed are meant to be applied and adapted in any given political context and reform type. Constitutional reform, legislative reform, procedural reform, policy reform. So they're universal for this. They're supposed to be a guidepost for electoral reform processes, and they shall help to establish a process that creates trust among stakeholders. That's what they are there for. So the aim was to have an advocacy tool for all stakeholders that can help to work towards a democratic reform process. And I hope that this is something we discussed yesterday. What do we have as a tool for CSOs to give to them to take reform forward? And I hope that this is one of them. So now I will briefly line out these six principles. So the first one is political consensus building is foundational to any reform process. So as electoral reform is inherently political, and I can't stress this enough, electoral reform is not a technical issue. It's a political issue, specifically when we look at changes of the system. It can quickly be overtaken by narrow interests, and this is something we need to keep in mind. So without genuine consensus, it's far easier for narrow interests to hijack the process, and you could end up with reforms that actually hurt transparency or exclude people if you don't do it right. So to avoid this pitfall, the process itself needs to try to minimize polarization, encourage good faith discussions. And that means really digging into the challenges inclusively with all of them. Name the challenges, have everybody take part in it. Look at the political incentives, defining clear goals and broad input in making sure it's all based on evidence, not on opinion. This is also very important because you can't find consensus on opinion. Secondly, electoral reform processes should be transparent. That means that independent oversight organizations, like election observers for that matter, or also opposition parties, should have sufficient access to monitor the electoral reform process. There should be transparency around the motivation and the goal for reform. So why are we doing it? What are we heading for? The timeline and the level of the reform process. So we do this in how many years? Is there anything happening prior to the next election or not? Who will be involved in the reform process? Like who leads it? It doesn't necessarily has to be an election management body. It can be somebody else. The source of funding, because these things do cost money, and the content of the reform. This is also very important. And then thirdly, electoral reform processes should be inclusive. And that means while the degree and breadth of consultation may vary based on the type and level of reform, as I said, constitutional, legislative, procedural, every type of reform needs to have a consultative process and inclusive means in place. And these are the mechanisms we spoke about yesterday that are still missing with the weak institutions, that we don't have a mechanism to actually take the recommendations forward and to do a next step. This is what it will be. So actively seeking out those voices, facilitating broad input, making sure all main political society actors are at the table. And here's a key point, socialize the ideas of reform within society. Not only NGOs or civil society, socialize it within the wider public so people have an informed voice they can participate with. Number four, electoral reform should be informed by evidence and long-term vision. We heard that yesterday as well. So electoral reform should be designed with a vision that extends beyond the immediate electoral cycle and creates a solid foundation that will keep the democratic system resilient even when those currently in power leave. So what we don't want is changes every 5 years. So in this context, high quality and well-presented information is important, and this sort of evidence needs to be agreed by everybody. Having said that, we have the Afrobarometer is, for example, a good source of evidence everybody agrees upon. So number five, democratic electoral reform process requires adequate timeframes and resources. And we just spoke about the 12-month thing. It needs to be longer. It depends on what kind of reform you do. If you do constitutional reform, usually it's 3 years, 4 years, I would say, potentially even more than one electoral cycle. Procedural reform is a few months, but you should stay outside of this one-year rule. And then last but not least, number six, is clear accountability structures are essential for electoral reform. They allow for public scrutiny and ensure that decisions are not taken at the expense of the broader public interest. And it's important that ambiguity around accountability structures leads to flawed processes. We end up in a situation where Department A shifts to Department B and vice versa, and no decisions are taken. So this accountability, the clear structure of accountability is very important.
And welcome back. Welcome back. If you just tuned in, this is a home run with Helmut on Eagle FM. And the voice you just heard is the voice of Tanya. Un momento. It turns out after performing my technology to bring you that audio, I still have all that. That's actually a good reminder before I run away and dramatize people with my WhatsApp inbox. And problem solved. So the voice you just heard, if you just tune in, is one of Miss Tanya Holstein, who is the head of practice in Westminster Foundation for Democracy, a group that co-founded, co-hosted the electoral integrity in Africa discussion. And they, when you look at the global reach that they are basically able to reach, not in terms of information gathering with regards to elections. And the part that basically caught my attention was one where she said election or electoral reforms are very political. So it's more of a survival of the fittest type of game that's being played here. And unfortunately, I will keep taking us back to the discussion of who human beings are, because more often when we have discussions like this, we like to have these discussions more of like in a vacuum. We have this discussion in a way like human beings are perfect. No, we are not. And that's not to say that we should now, just be idiots just because, well, I can just go around making all mistakes, all mistakes that I want because, well, after all, I'm not perfect. But to understand that when it comes to fighting for something, in terms of elections, that something is more often power, whether that's an election in the corporate world or election in the political world, this election in just simple social settings. It's always the story of hierarchy. The ones that are more like high up on that political or economic food chain are obviously going to have they are going to dominate others in terms of influence. And take this December for example, when you are going out to chill, the one that has money is the one that has the most influence. So leaving all that chilling discussion aside, when it comes to election discussions, there is not a time that's going to come where elections are going to be less controversial. Elections are going to be more controversial. They are going to be controversial all the time. Now, especially election results are going to be controversial all the time because, well, every political party wants to be the winner. Unfortunately so, including that one that has one voter, they're still going to say, well, I believe that election was rigged. Dude, you just had one voter. How could you have possibly won that with one voter? Like, really? The point is someone is always going to cry foul. Now, that's not to say that every complaint when it comes to election results is going to be one of those just someone crying wolf or more like crying foul. No. Sometimes the concerns that are pointed out are just genuine. You can look at our EVM controversial result, for example. The genuine question that comes out of that elections was, first of all, you know that EVMs can only be work more like more transparently if they have paper trails. Why didn't you include them from the get go? That's a genuine question. That's a very genuine question to ask. But then you fast forward to 2024 elections when, opposition parties were saying, no, you should not have extended the voting date. The question is, what was the alternative though? And this just, this just my point of view on last year's elections. What was the alternative? The sun was setting, the queues were long, and, I don't know former President Bumba personally, but I know he's a human being, therefore he doesn't have the power to rewind time. He's not Joshua to make the sun stand still. Therefore, the only option was extend the date and then deal with the consequences after. He should not have extended the date. His only options, if you ask me, President Bumba's options last year, were either become Joshua and make the sun stand still until people finish voting, or rewind time. Our science in Namibia, Africa, is not that advanced to come up with a time machine. No one has figured that part out. So making the sun stand still, our divine strength is not that strength. So that was not an option. Time machine to rewind time, also science way behind on that department. So not an option. So, count the votes that has been casted and then tell everyone to go home until, you know, good luck in the next election, 2029, 2030. That would have come with its own controversy. And, extending the election date so that to allow the people that had not yet voted to participate to continue voting. That also had its own controversy, as we just saw, for the most, half of this year, with all the election disputes, the election result dispute. Now, looking at our last year's presidential and national assembly elections alone, all you just have to do is get yourself the ruling of the Supreme Court, the presidential discussion. Get yourself that ruling, that Supreme Court ruling. Get, of the 2024 National Assembly and presidential elections, because the presidential election dispute was the Supreme Court, and the National Assembly election dispute was in the Electoral Court. Jurisdiction nonsense, but anyway, garbage. That's better. Now, what's the difference? Same as a group. So, the point is, wherever you are going to find a group of people voting over something, there will always be disputes. So it's important then to have an electoral mechanism in place that is that will give degrees of transparency to everyone involved, so that you don't have to deal with a situation where everyone is crying foul all the time. Now, you are going to deal with that situation where everyone is crying foul. It's just that when someone cries foul, you have set in place transparent mechanism to present, for everyone who is aggrieved, to present their point of view, to present, their evidence, not point of view, obviously, to present their evidence to say, the reason why I'm saying this is wrong is this and this and this and this and this. Remember the opposition parties last year when they came out and said that the president extending the voting due date is unconstitutional. Were they wrong? No, they were not. They were right. I know, that's the tricky part, because now you end up in a situation where the courts, basically, when making a ruling on that case, they had to consider that. Now, was extending this due date following? Now at this point, we're just stuck in technicality. What you did, was it right? According to the written law we have today, no, it wasn't. Was it wrong? Yes. Now, let's look at the reasons why you did it. Now, let's take, for example, if you had not extended the voting date, what consequences would have come out of that? The positive is that you could have followed the written law. You'd be very correct. Legally, you'd be very correct. But then the thing is, constitutional wise, also, again, legally, we are now stuck in the gray area here. Legally, you would have violated the rights of those people that were in the queues to participate in their own democracy. Legally legal somewhere in the middle. So the court was like, well, extending, excellent idea. Why? It's simple. The people that, because at the end of the day, public interest. The extension had its own legal questionability, but thereby public interest, the extension was reigning supreme. So the point is, the point then they were trying to make there is, why do you have laws? Now the thing is that ruling, more like the whole discussion, keeps taking me to one of the verse in the good book that says, the Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath, something like that. It's one of those most debated verses in the Christian world. So bringing that aspect to the Constitution, are laws made for citizens or citizens made for the law? The second one is then true. Can be argued. I would argue that the second one is true. If you have a set of laws that are disadvantaging the people, then you have a very questionable legislation right there, which can easily be questioned, because why? You have the Constitution to protect the people. You know how we run around saying human right this, human right that. We have those rights because they are natural. That's natural law. Say things, you don't need the Constitution to tell you not to kill someone. If you need the Constitution to tell you not to kill someone, perhaps you shouldn't be outside. Somewhere in solitary confinement would be an excellent place for you. You don't have to be told. The natural law is something that you must naturally know. Fighting, not good. Stealing someone's thing, not good. Why is stealing bad? Let's just reverse this whole thing now, Jeff. If someone stole your stuff, would you be happy? Absolutely not. Now, what makes you think that stealing someone's property is good? Obviously, it's not good. Now, the fact that you are telling yourself that it's good doesn't make it good. Of course, when we want to do something bad, we all have a way of lying to each other. We all have a way of lying to each other. I'll be there like, this is not that bad. Nah. Well, after all, everyone is doing it. That's actually peer pressure. Peer pressure is basically built on excuses we formulate to make ourselves feel better. Well, I'm only doing it because everyone is doing it. So if everyone jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? No, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Then why? And it turns out peer pressure doesn't end when it doesn't end. Peer pressure is going to go until you reach the ancestral realm. So this summit that took place now in Zambia, the electoral integrity in Africa, they were looking at mostly electoral reforms. The reason why I cut out that part is because the lady focused a lot on electoral reforms. This is something that we keep hearing a lot in a lot of countries. Tanzania, for example, is one of those people that is one of those easy example where a lot of opposition parties were calling for electoral reforms. We have had electoral reforms being called here at home, and they're being called everywhere. Now, the thing is, before you start jumping, even if you listening right now, you were in the executive office and the power to bring about any type of electoral reform resided in your hands. It's not the case with our president right now. You can't just storm in ECN and start telling them to change things. No, she can't do that. She's the president, but she can't do that. Now, let's say you listening are the president and you have the power to bring about any electoral reform. And you gathered all the opposition parties together and asked them, what would you like me to change in the Electoral Act? Oh boy, are you going to listen to a lot of things. Now, it's up to, you really have to brace yourself now, because you are talking about politics here. Everyone is going to give point of view. Everyone is going to suggest changes that, if implemented, advantages them or gives them a competitive advantage. And that's just human. That's who we are. We are always going for something called, we are always trying to figure out a way that will give us a competitive advantage. Corruption is entirely based on that. If I apply for a tender and then go backdoor, if I apply for a tender in the ministry, Ministry of Works, for example, and then using backdoors and I go backdoors and pay some guys at the Central Procurement Board and the Ministry of Works to, you know, for them to, you know, to consider my company over my competitors, that's called cheating. It's cheating, yes. We have the competition commission. Why? Because when it comes to competing, we will do anything to give us a good competitive edge. Anyone that, for those, for people that do, you know, play, how do I put this? People that play video games know something called hacking. You have people that are hacking so that they can gain what? A competitive advantage to win in a video game. Like, you are not winning money. You are just winning a game. And people are hacking. I know. Quick break.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. 18 minutes to the hour of 6. Home run with Helmut and Dwight. That's stuck in my head, guys. You're going to have to forgive me on this one. A repetition does that to you. But before continue, let's take a live read. Vilvicha University 2026 applications now open. New programs. Faculty of Health Science. Master of Public Health, Level 9, Mode of Delivery, Distance. Areas of specialization, maternal child health, public health nutrition, mental health and well-being, food safety management systems, sustainable solid waste management, innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, violence prevention and intervention. Application fee is 230 Namibian dollars. And application deadline is the 30th of November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-5463 or 061-225-462. And let me repeat that again, 061-225-462. Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. So, why is the subject of electoral reforms keeps popping up, especially in election discussions? It's for a number of reasons. One is one that I already pointed out. People are just petty. We always want to sneak in something that will give us a competitive advantage. Two, sometimes genuine need is just needed. Genuine change is needed. Genuine upgrade to the electoral processes is needed. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. What's good for Namibia's electoral atmosphere may not be good for Zambia, Botswana, South Africa. But before continuing...
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes. Anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect. Easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe.
the ones who bring you a cold Windhoek beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Windhoek, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. So, we continue. Principles for domestic electoral reforms. Principles for domestic electoral reforms. Basically, when considering everything election discussion, not in the process, but in the institution that runs it. Because you have to understand that the process itself is political. The process itself is political. The reform itself is going to be political. So, I think at this point, it's one of those situations where we are trying to figure out where trust issues are, understandable. Trust issues are understandable. I mean, any election, irrespective of which political party is in the executive office, is going to have controversy. Take the ruling party out of the executive office right now, in terms of national dominance, in terms of governance, and then put any political party there. Then conduct an election. The ruling party is going to be crying foul. No, this system is rigged. Irrespective of what party you put in office, someone from one political party or the other is going to be saying, this system is rigged against me. You're never getting rid of that. It's called being human beings. So, well, we all want to be in power. No? We all want to afford an iPhone with two SIM cards. And, we all want to win. But unfortunately, the game of winning universally works very differently from what we expect. In the world of winning, there can only be one winner. You know that whole thing that I see a lot in the Western world of participation trophy? In life, that's not the case. It's either you win or lose. That's all. It's just how you handle your lose. There's one political party that was actually, opposition party that was actually very proud of this year. Because, the first thing they did was introspect their last year's elections. How they participated. And they basically put up a public information, which is why I was able to read about it, that, their introspection, the reason behind their lack of, their sluggishness or more like lack of performance in the previous election, on which they lost their official opposition party status, now you know who I'm talking about, was because of predominantly because of what was going on internally in the party. If you just find the whole, the whole article, what they're basically saying in a lot of paragraphs is we can do better. We just did not, we did not fire all the cylinders all at the same time. Now, if you ask me, that's a very mature thing to do. Because blaming will not help anyone improve. As long as you are blaming others for your mistakes, you are not acknowledging the flaws that are making you underperform. But as soon as you just begin to start looking yourself in the mirror and start basically being honest with yourself that screw up was entirely mine. Where am I lacking? And then you can easily be able to plug all the holes where your performance is leaking. But as long as you are only pointing fingers at others, the reasons behind your sluggishness or lacking in performance, you are not going to address them. There will always be this giant elephant in the room you don't want to address. Like if you're a marathon runner, you have got to be slim for you to participate in a marathon. Now, there are certain sports that require you to be of a certain weight. Otherwise, you are going to underperform. One of those sports is Formula One. First of all, the car is small. You have to be of a certain body stature for you to fit in. That's just the sport. And that thing is going about what? Like 200 kilometers per hour on a corner. So you have one requirement that's provided. You have to be of this particular weight for you to participate in this sport. Now, if you keep telling, if you gain weight, and you keep losing in that sport, and you just keep pointing at, the referee doesn't like me, or more like, it's the manufacturers of the car, you are not addressing the elephant in the room. Eat what Lewis Hamilton is eating for you to lose that 2-3 kg that is participating in you lagging. Now, giving some very terrible internet reference here. So, being honest with yourself is the most difficult thing you can do. And most mature, actually. Like everyone else, there are a lot of aspects of my life where I lied to myself about something for years. I lied to myself about a lot of things for years. But I have managed to basically see change in a lot of those things. When I just started sitting and being honest with myself, it's mostly at 3 in the morning when you're sleeping and actually you can't fall asleep. So you start overthinking. You start going, actually, on this and this and this and this and this, I'm the problem. On this and this and this and this and this. I know I like to point fingers in that and that and that direction, but now that no one is looking, I know I'm the problem. That is the most difficult and painful and embarrassing. Did I mention embarrassing? It's embarrassing. Which is why it's very easy to point fingers than introspect. It takes a whole different level of maturity to basically sit down and say, on this failure, I am to blame. I can do better. It's very easy to point fingers. That's your problem, not me. Can never be me. We all have those. We all have our moments with can never be me. We all have those moments. So, political consensus on building a foundation to any reform process. So, political consensus. So, it's about bringing political parties together. How do I put this? If the electoral reform was to be done by only one political party, I don't care if that political party is made out of pastors and nuns. They are going to rig the system to work for them. We are humans, guys. It's what we do. We rig things to work for us. Every time that we find ourselves in a position of privilege, we are most likely than not going to rig a system to work for us. Which is why we need institutions, actually. So the best way to reform a system is to bring impacted parties by decisions coming out of that system. You find people in a relationship. More often, they fail because it's everything is your fault. But mistakes? Nah. Like that gender, I cannot mention. See, I'm starting. Told you. It's human nature. Now, electoral reform process should be transparent. Now, that's one difficult one. This is the reason why you should include, if you are going to reform something, this is actually one excellent reason why parliaments are made up of different political parties. You have to put all of them in there so they can so that every party you know, every party that basically has won a seat in them can be represented in terms of decisions that are being passed. Because these decisions are going to impact not just the different political party representatives in parliament, but also the different political party voters. And this is the general public. Yeah. If you're going to reform, you're going to have to include everyone. That one, on the other hand, also has its pros and cons. The pro is that you are going to have inclusive governance, where you have different political parties representing their voters in every decision making that's being made on a central government level. But my God, the bureaucracy is going to be multiplied by 10, because now you have 5 political parties that are going to be petty, that are just arguing each other, not because of rationality. They just want to be petty. You know that, that pettiness that's making us, amend our procurement act? That pettiness. That's the reason behind the sluggishness in passing some of the laws. Because some opposition parties, they're just arguing for the sake of arguing. And that's true for every political party. You are always going to find that representative who is just arguing, not because the point made is irrational. They're just arguing because, well, that point did not come from their side of the party. That's the petty part. So it's just safe to include everyone in the reformation. That's a no-brainer. Reformation, I'm just making it sound religious. Yeah, but you are reforming. So electoral reform process should be inclusive. That's the same like the first point that says political consensus building. So if you have consensus, you obviously that involves more than one party, more than one person in the decision that that's made or that people have planned to make. Electoral reform process should be informed by evidence and a long-term vision. Now, this is where you now have to grow up, basically. I'm sorry, I really tried to find the politically correct term. The pettiness that I will keep taking us back to the reason why we are looking to, why we are in the process right now of amending our Procurement Act is because people don't want to grow up. You applied for a tender, you competed and lost. Just cut your losses, and when the next tender is, is put out, then you can apply and compete again. But no, you have 3 companies that are owned by 3 or more, like a bunch of fully grown men and women, minus that one that includes a 5-year-old. And these are adults that knows that there are schools out there, there are hostels, there are school hostels out there that need food when the school reopens. But they are still taking it each other to court in March. The schools opened in January. They are still taking each other to court, not because there is actually, there is unfair awarding in the tender process, because I should have won. Because I want a customized Range Rover license plate. A customized Range Rover with a customized license plate. Oil one. Reference. If you don't get it, why are you in Namibia? If you are not Namibian and you get the reference of that joke, get yourself a Namibian friend. You should be fine. But if you are Namibian and you don't get that, okay, what rock have you been living under? First of all, thank you for finding our station, because, well, that's a good step towards understanding the political comedy reference. So, political pettiness is not going to end, unfortunately. It's always been the case. So, and now you have Electoral reform process should be informed by evidence and a long-term vision. If you are saying, for example, that you don't agree with this particular reform, we are going to listen to you. We are going to give you a chance to explain to us why you think this reform is wrong. Give us a reason. Not because I just scratched my, I just don't feel like it. I'm not feeling the vibe of this reform. Yeah, that's not reasonable enough. Actually, they are just tuning any election discourse and someone says, I'm not feeling the vibe. Oh my God, I'm laughing my lungs out. And then you have domestic electoral reform process requires adequate time frame and resources. By that, resources, I mean money. The time frame, I'm not emphasizing much on the time frame because, Parliament already does that. I mean, we have a lot of bills that have been in bill format for literally years because someone is taking time in the time frame. So let's take a break and we'll come back on the other side, sign out and hand you over in the hands of business and economic segment with David Shombe. But before that, commercial break, sign out, wrap up, sign out, business and economic segment, home run with Helmut.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opo.
Welcome back. So I did ramble a lot of things. And for those of you that were listening, thank you very much for participating in our democracy. Albeit a lot of people have been calling it, have those ones that have a good sense of humor, have been calling it demo crazy. But it's a democracy, and there is not a single country that has it figured out. Every country has their own ups and downs. And like you heard, for those of you that were listened to the audio of Tanya Holstein pointing out that they worked with electoral representatives and NGOs and civil society organizations from 60 countries to sort of like compile this list of 6 points that I, 6 points that she went through in detail, and yours truly here basically summarized. The part to acknowledge is that, the most important part to acknowledge is that, elections, elections involves people. And people are always, unfortunately, going to be petty, and they are going to bring up disputes, most of which are unfounded, and some of them are going to be very genuine. One thing that was pointed out in the summit, by the way, in terms of transparency, is that election observers is the reason why we had here last year SADC election observers. And, they visited polling stations, they did an observation, they compiled a report, and, some of us went through that. I still have that, I think, on my TikTok. But it was more of my TikTok is not for professional work. So there I'm just cooking people. The people on the other, if you look at, even though we had election results squabble here at home, election observers did not actually start, you know, did not point to any type of election rigging. Actually, they didn't use that term even when they were compiling a report for the Tanzanian for the recently held, very questionably held and questionably won and questionably participated in that whole, it's a long story, election in Tanzania. But what observers pointed out was that some of them were refused admission into polling stations. Some of them had more of a restriction access in terms of accessing some information at polling stations. They just wrote down what they went through, what they observed. What they observed here was that we needed more polling stations. We underestimated the number of voter turnout. And also we need the next election, we need, fridges at every polling station for those cabs because they kept heating up. That fridge at every polling station, that one is a joke before people start taking it serious. Now, the point is election observers, allowing election observers. We had African Union election observers last year. They observed our elections and then they drew their own conclusion. Then they were like, oh, you all have a good one. Now bye. And they found themselves in Tanzania. And before that they were also in Zimbabwe. Yeah. The Zimbabwean government said a lot of colorful things about that observer election. But anyway, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until Sunday, when I'm playing both comedian and DJ, Sunday is just me. I don't work on Sundays, guys. I just have fun on Sunday. That's one thing I like about, that's why you should do the things that you love. Like for my Sunday shows, I literally get paid to have fun. Yay. You'll stay tuned with for business and economic segment with David Shombe. For yours truly here, you'll have a blessed weekend. And don't drink and drive. Festive season is very exciting. Just in this week alone, on my way from home to work. Interesting enough, from home to work, I have run into two car accidents. One was today. The other, I think, was on Wednesday. So, watch the road. There's a lot of excitement going on there. Don't drink and drive. Don't overspeed. I know. Look, I'm just stating the obvious. I know what you say. It's my car. I can do whatever you want. Whatever you want. Fine. I mean, you can die. We'll just be there taking over your girlfriend, your property and all that. Your beer. We'll just enjoy, Baba. In fact, we'll be eating at your funeral. You just go. You do you. And have a good weekend. One more thing. We are having a... drinking and driving leads to accident, which may or may not lead to death. If you do that and end up dying at your funeral, if you're my friend, I'm sorry. I'm asking for kapana. I didn't drive you. I didn't force you to drink. Now you can have a good weekend.